And they say that one of the greatest fears that anyone has is public speaking. And you might add to that song leading and leading prayer and whatever the case may be, and leading others in worship. And we have seen young men tonight who through many years of practice and work with the church here and encouragement from good people like you, who have been able to overcome some of those fears. I remember, you know, I went to a Christian elementary school and high school, Mars Hill Bible School over in Florence, and I remember when I got to seventh grade, the junior high and high school, we had chapel together, 7th through 12th grade. We all met in the auditorium for 20, 30 minutes a day, and various teachers and other preachers from the area spoke from time to time, and sometimes some of the young men that were students there spoke, but often, almost always, the devotional, a few songs and prayer and scripture reading was conducted by some of us who were students. And I can remember being in the seventh grade, and my name was on a piece of paper one day that was handed to me, along with two or three other guys, to read scripture in chapel, you know, like next Tuesday or something like that. And it's kind of, whose idea was this? I guess somewhere, you know, I had signed up to do that or something, perhaps. But I remember that's the first time I had really ever done anything like that. And I still recall very vividly how very nervous I was. I was going to read scripture. I recall very vividly how very nervous I was. And those boys who would do that, we sat on the front row on one side of the auditorium. And I was sitting there with a couple of my friends. And we were all, you know, about the same age. And we were all kind of nervous. But I can recall feeling my heart pounding and looking down at my shirt. And I don't know if this was really happening or not, but it really looked like my shirt, you know, was doing this, you know, like you see on cartoons. And getting up there and reading scripture. And that's all I had to do was read scripture. And getting up there and reading scripture and making it through it and doing okay. And I thought, that's all right. And I picked up my Bible and I turned around to walk back, you know, where we were sitting. And I tripped over the microphone cord because it came from behind. And I tripped over the cord. Didn't fall, but I did trip. And you know, when the cord snapped, you know, it was like, you know, this big noise from the microphone and all that. And I sat back down. And it was a mixture of fear and hilarity that I was feeling. And the three or four of us that were sitting on the front row, we were doing all we could not to explode because we were all so amused at what had just happened. And just sitting there and hoping, you know, I hope we're about to sing a song because I can't keep my mouth shut much longer. At least, you know, it wasn't like something I'd heard had happened to one of my communication teachers when I was at Freed Hardeman. Dr. Gerald Fulkerson was the chairman of the communication department for many years at Freed Hardeman. He's retired now. And in fact, he even was a major contributor to a textbook on the subject of communication. He taught public speaking. He taught basic communication. You know, all these things where you get up and you talk and you communicate and you use this medium in speaking. And a brilliant man, a very kind man, had him for a communication class. But he shared the story that when he was in high school himself, he was called to speak, he grew up as a Christian. I can't remember if this was a church setting or if it was maybe, you know, another setting, 4-H or something like that. But he was supposed to speak at an event, and he'd never really spoken before. And remember, this is a man who, as he grew up, became a communication professor, had a PhD in it, helped write a textbook on communication and so on. But he said that the first time that he got up to speak in a gathering like this, that he's standing there at the podium, and he looks out, and he said, I opened my mouth. He said, the only thing that came out was, and that was the whole extent of it. And that was all that he could do, you know, because, you know, things like that happen to you. You can overcome it, obviously, and you can move beyond. But I'm so very proud of these young men who have stood before you tonight and have led us in worship. It's encouraging to see that. You know, our young ladies work at this as well. Lads Leaders has a girl side of the program. And the young ladies work at that and leading singing and reading scripture and making talks of encouragement to groups of other ladies. And that's a great place for women to perform some of the great role that God has provided for them. And it's a great blessing to see how these things are encouraged and passed on in various congregations. It's a blessing to be a part of this congregation where we try to encourage our young people the best that we can. I'm reminded of a scripture that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in our Sunday morning Bible class that meets here in the auditorium, we've just finished chapter 1. So we're about to begin chapter 2. So here's maybe just a little bit of preview of something that we'll look at when we come to this. But in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, you have a pretty fascinating situation there that Paul elaborates on that I think we can make application to how we encourage one another to keep the gospel going. And sometimes people have called this the 2-2-2 principle because it's 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And so you got all those twos mixed up in there. But Timothy is told by the Apostle Paul, ultimately by the Holy Spirit, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." There are four generations in that verse. Because the Apostle Paul says, "The things that you've heard from me," number one. And Timothy is the one who's heard them as a younger man, one that Paul calls his son in the faith. So that's number two. And he says, these things, what do you do with them? Commit them to faithful men. That's number three. Paul, Timothy, faithful men next. And then what will those faithful men be able to do? What does verse 2 say? Who will teach others also. Four generations in one verse. You see, that's the great responsibility that you and I have. To take what we have heard from Paul, from other writers of the Scripture, to take those things and to teach them to someone else, who in turn will teach them to someone else, who in turn will share those and teach them to someone else also. And you've got this cycle going all the time of the Scriptures being shared, the Scriptures being taught. And it's a great blessing to realize that we can be part of that cycle. In fact, we can be in all four generations. We can be the ones who are receiving the teaching and then passing the teaching on. We can be the sandwich generation of it. And then finally, we can be the old guy who's passing it down to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. And we see what a great blessing and privilege that is for us as Christians to take part in that scenario of those many generations. You seen part of that tonight in our worship. You seen part of that every Sunday when we assemble and some of our young men are taking part in leading us in worship. You see that when young ladies in their roles in God's plan for Christian homes and the Lord's church, when young ladies are being mentored and taught by an older lady to teach and to encourage younger children. And you see how the cycle just keeps repeating itself and looping and looping and looping. And we're part of that. And it's a great blessing. The Bible also tells us, when you look back many chapters from where we are in 2 Timothy 2 to the book of Proverbs, about the significance and the importance of the older generation passing the truth down to the next generation and how the next generation in turn will eventually become the older generation and keep passing it and just keeps looping and looping and looping. You know, there is an absolute truth that the entire Bible is written to everybody. And yet we also understand that there are certain books and certain parts of the Bible that have more of a specific application to different groups of people. They apply to everybody. But there are places in the Bible where things are said to certain people at certain stages of life that are very specific. If there is any book in the Bible that you can say is written for young people, if there's any book in the Bible that you can say is written for young men and young women who are changing from that process of being a child to an adult, it's this book right here, Proverbs. Particularly, the first 10 chapters. Because when you look at this book, and you see the introduction that it's the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, here's the purpose: to know in wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then in verse 8, the first two words of verse 8 are, "My son." You see, here's a father speaking to his son. And you might make an even broader application of that, of here's an older man, a parent, a mentor, speaking to someone that he has influence over. My son. And you keep reading in this chapter, verse 8, my son. Verse 10, my son. And you keep on into chapter 2, my son. You look at chapter 3, my son. And you keep looking at it in chapter 4, hear my children. And in chapter 4, verse 10, hear my son. Verse 20, my son. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son. Chapter 6, verse 20, my son. Chapter 7, verse 1, my son. You see how you keep going? My son. My child. This is the tailor-made, inspired book for those people who are in that transition process of moving from childhood to adulthood. This is your book. God put this book in the Bible specifically for you. It's for all of us. But this one has got your name all over it. My son. And so we have this great encouragement from this scripture to encourage the next generation. To build up the next generation. To warn them, yes. To sometimes rebuke them or admonish them, yes. But to encourage them. To help them as the book begins out, to know wisdom, instruction, words of understanding, justice, judgment, prudence, knowledge. See, that's the task. That's what we're tasked with. That's the responsibility that those of us who are no longer in childhood, that's the responsibility that we have. And while we could spend our time very profitably just reading, particularly the first 10 chapters, listen to some words, if you will, from chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. And as we're looking at this, those of you sitting in here who are on that journey from childhood to adulthood, this is what God has to say to you. Those of us who have made that journey, this is our responsibility now. This is what God has to say to us of how we help those people who are coming up after us to make that journey. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, here's what he said, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, being personified. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all your getting, I like the way that's phrased. In all your getting, get wisdom. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So, helping people make the transition from childhood to adulthood, there are easier jobs. There are simpler things to do. But when we help a young person, and we encourage a young person to get wisdom, we are helping a young person to get the greatest thing he or she will ever get. It is the principal thing. And I think it's obviously strongly, completely implied from what we read in this text, that if I'm going to help someone get wisdom, I got to have it first myself. It is incumbent upon me that I take my time and invest my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength in the only place, God's Word, where I'll find wisdom. And then, 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 2, then what I do with that? Commit those things to faithful men, who in turn will share that with others also. And I know that there are people who like to gripe and rant and rave about the next generation and how bad they are and how awful they are and how much better we were. Or we would have never been allowed to get away with anything like that. Or we would have never tried anything like that. I kind of think maybe, while I would never say anyone who makes a statement like that is anywhere near suffering a case of dementia, maybe there's just a little bit of forgetfulness. Because yes, we did try some of those same things. And yes, we did violate some things we knew that we shouldn't have. And the generation coming up has this unique share of problems, but so did we. And it's grossly unfair to say our generation was better than yours. Well, my friend, if your generation is so much better, then you share that. And you teach the next generation how they who can become so great like yours. I had a little bit of sarcasm there. I'm sorry. I just can't control myself sometimes. But you see the job we have. We have been entrusted with wisdom. We've been entrusted with the Word of God. And now we take that and we apply that to our own heart and we share that with Timothy. And Timothy will share that with the next guy who's going to share that with the next guy. And guess what? Guess what? Then all of us, the generation before, the generation now, the generation coming up, all of us will have wisdom. We'll all be what God wants us to be. And there's no need to be snide. There's no need to point out, you know, well, we did this and you do that and we didn't do that. It's nauseating. Let's just take the Word of God and let that be our guide. And if we'll follow this faithfully, fully, completely, we'll find the wisdom that we need for our generation and all the generations to come. And so tonight, as we extend the invitation of Christ, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get wisdom. And wisdom, the beginning of all knowledge, the beginning of all that is the fear of the Lord. And that's where you find it. So fear, revere, respect, and love God. And let that be your wisdom. And in turn, live your life. My son, do this. My son, hear this. My son, behave this way. My son, avoid these problems. My son, live like the Father has told you to live. Tonight, if you're in need of responding to the invitation of Christ, would you come as we stand and we sing?